And today in the studio, we have Judith Thomas, education specialist and researcher. And she's talking about the South Sudanese refugee secondary students in Adelaide. Welcome to the program, Judith.
Right, thank you, and good afternoon, Louise, and all your listeners.
Now, first question. How did you come to do this study, Judith?
Well, I've been a secondary school teacher and a university lecturer in education, and I've always been interested in assisting these students to achieve learner success, regardless of background and ability.
So why the South Sudanese?
Well, they were the new group who came in, and really, they were from an unknown culture, and it was very hard to know how to teach them, really, what worked best.
Oh, I guess it would be too. So what interested you?
I was very interested to know how they learnt best. And in order to do this, I was interested in their social, their linguistic, their religious, and their education factors in their home country, and also how the knowledge would assist them here as teachers, for their teachers. And I was also interested to know about their personal identity.
So how was your study organised?
Well, it was a qualitative study, and that means it was concerned with the observations of the feelings and attitudes of the participants in one-on-one interviews, about 1 hour in length. And I also used two theories, humanistic sociology and symbolic interactionism.
Big words. So what are these theories?
Well, they're very user-friendly and they go together very well because humanistic sociology is looking at the cultural values. So we really, to know the inside holistic picture of a culture, we need to know language, religion, education, social. So that's that side of it. But complementary is the symbolic interactionism, which looks at relationships. How do people react? What do they learn from each other? What do you learn yourself? And how do you learn from others?
Okay. So what were your major findings from your research study?
Many major findings, but one of the most significant was the importance of the family unit and the extended family members. They are at the heart of this culture.
Okay.
The mother was frequently highlighted as an important figure, a nurturer and a teacher. The bond of the family was strong, unbreakable and contributed to the day-to-day survival amidst the almost daily threat of war and danger.
It's a horrible way to live, isn't it?
Yes, but this bond is very real and it's carried through. It's part of who they are.
Okay, so what about language or languages?
Well, you need to look at languages, and the one in my study, they were Dinka-speaking students, and that's very important to their sense of personal identity. They also spoke other languages. They spoke Arabic, English, and Swahili from the refugee camps, but it was all oral. There wasn't really very little written language.
Right, that makes a difference, doesn't it?
Well, that makes a huge difference because I'm sure a number of your listeners will be language teachers, and if you can't read and write in your own language, it's very difficult to learn a second.
Yes, it would be.
So fortunately, they've had the opportunity in Adelaide to go to the School of Languages and learn to read and write in Dinka, and that's a major breakthrough for learning the compulsory English.
Okay, so tell me, what about going to church in South Sudan?
Very important. The Christian church was the centre of their lives of every day. Not only was it a meeting place, but they also had a section where you could learn other languages.
Okay. I'm not actually sure what you mean by that, Judith. Do you mean speaking, reading and writing?
No, just speaking. Maybe some writing, yes, it was very difficult for them to learn to write because the schools, it was very disrupted learning with the threat of war. Often schools could be closed. They could go to school one day and there are no teachers. They've gone off to war. And so there's a big gap in the learning. So really, they're very good with the spoken, but the written was a bit spasmodic just when they could have schooling.
So it's the spoken, it's the oral cultures of the stories.
That's right, yes. Mm-hmm. It's the oral tradition, they call it.
Okay.
And similar to the indigenous, where the stories are handed down from generation to generation. They include animals, morals, and also that naughty boy. If he kept on lying, his tongue would grow and he would choke.
That's a good one.
Yes.
It's not the nose this time.
No.
And so what about schooling?
Well, there were a variety of schools. There were boarding schools, government and church schools, and also in the open air and at the refugee camps as well.
Mm-hmm. How would you describe their sense of identity in their home country?
Very much surrounding the family. It's a communal culture. Church attendance and languages were at the centre of their identity. The parents, even though they might have had little education themselves, they always said, you know, you must go to school. And then the child might say, but there's a lot of discipline there. I'll get hurt if I'm late. That was like that in our time. So off you go. You must go to school. So they really were very, very strong on education.
Right. We're talking today with Judith Thomas, education specialist and researcher, about the South Sudanese refugee secondary students in Adelaide. Now, Judith, what about thoughts of leaving their home country and coming here? I'd expect that that'd be pretty big.
Yes, absolutely. Very much sadness and yet excitement. When they left their own country, they had to say goodbye to most of their family. Mm. They come with their mother, perhaps a few siblings. The father might be off at war, or he might have passed away. So they had to leave their extended family. And as a grandmother myself, I know a lot of the students spoke about having to leave the grandmothers and leave the wisdom that the grandmothers passed on. So it was a mixture of sadness and excitement.
It would be a huge change.
Absolutely.
So once in Australia, how do they cope with everyday life and learning in English?
Well, I'm afraid to say not long after arrival, they felt very different.
Yes.
And also it was very hard to learn and to read and write in English when you've got a background of spoken language.
And they had intensive English classes when they arrived?
Yes, that's right, for the secondary, primary and secondary students. And they feel a great sense of being comfortable in these classes because they have a variety of cultures. But when they go to the mainstream, like the secondary school, they can't help but feel different, feel in the minority.
Yes. And I guess, you know, from what you were doing, you could see the difficulty.
Yes, that's right.
So what would you say helped these students learn English?
Well, teachers, good teachers can be very helpful. Well, just going back, rewinding there, that going learning to read and write in their own language was the major breakthrough. So classes, and these are classes after school in the afternoon, starting at about 5 o'clock, 5 to 8. So it's quite a dedication, the number of increasing enrolments to realise they do need to know their own culture, to read and write, to help with their English writing at school and learning.
Okay, he did it for SACE certificate?
Yes, the SACE certificate. Yes, that's very important. There's a subject called Language and Culture where they can a variety of cultures can take this subject. And so they get bonus points and they're able to go on with tertiary studies. So that has many advantages for them.
Oh, my word. So what about other factors? What were they?
Right. Other factors are the importance of the role models. Now, the role models are obviously the people at home they looked up to. But when they come here, there's good teachers. And if one of their siblings achieves in tertiary studies, that's a great incentive and inspiration for them.
Yes, it would be.
So role models are at the centre of the culture. They really look up to people.
And what about the teachers?
Well, they felt that if the teachers took a personal interest and regularly said, how are you going? Do you understand this? Or they check. They really appreciated that. The teachers were extremely important. In fact, that was a major finding, that they wanted to develop a personal relationship with their teachers.
Wow. Yeah, that would be significant.
Sounds unusual, I know.
Now, what about church attendance? Was this still important here in Australia?
Yes, church attendance was still important here. However, the school really took major centre stage because the South Sudanese students coming here, they really value the opportunities, they want to succeed. So the school was the place that was very important to achieving success in the future.
Okay, so what would you say are their goals for their future?
Well, a lot of them have a lot of professions they'd like to go into, learning new skills, but almost all of my participants wanted to give back to their own country.
Okay, and so how do they view themselves here in Australia?
Well, they see themselves as double identity, really. There's always the home cultural identity that never goes, but a new identity emerged, an intellectual or school identity. So there was like a dual sense of identity here in Adelaide and Australia.
And finishing up with your study, where are you now?
Right, well, I just really want to pass on the knowledge I've learnt about this unique culture. There's many stories involved with it. But in terms of the community, I just think it's important if whenever we see the young mothers with the children on the buses or young people out in the community playing sport, to just smile, and it just gives them a sense of welcome and just be genuine. And I can tell you that it's immediately noted and appreciated, because I'm afraid they still suffer the racist taunts in public places, buses and so on. So if we can smile and maybe say to the young mothers, do you need a hand? And maybe they don't, but they would really appreciate someone smiling and welcoming them.
Well, we all live together, don't we?
We sure do. We do. And that's very important in life.
Well, I think that brings us to the end of this interview.
Okay.
Judith, it's been lovely having you on. We've been talking to Judith Thomas, education specialist and researcher, and she was talking about the South Sudanese refugee secondary students in Adelaide. Thank you, Judith.
Thank you, Louise, and listeners. Bye for now.